Thank God for all that has gone into getting us ready for the preached word. Mark chapter 4, verse 14 through 20 serves as our preaching material. Mark chapter 4, verses 14 through 20. The text says, the farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, they hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, somebody say no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. As you take your seats, I want to raise the question again, how is your hearing? How is your hearing? How many of you all know that you can be in church without the word getting in you? You can come Sunday after Sunday and leave Sunday after Sunday just as empty, no word in you. However, God wants us to come to places like these and not only hear the word, but to obey the word. The text we've read is Jesus' explanation of his own parable. Jesus had talked about a farmer who sowed seed on different types of ground, and his own disciples asked him, Lord, what do these things mean? And verses 14 through 20 is his explanation. This text serves for the platform of our thesis today. We should work on having fruitful hearing. What are we talking about? We're talking about having fruitful hearing. Can I spend a few moments talking about types of hearing? Types of hearing. Let me put this supposition in the front. I suppose we understand that there's some good stuff in the Bible. If you can get this word in you, this word will teach you how to be happy, how to have joy, how to have peace, despite the circumstances you find yourself in. This word gives us principles for taking care of our bodies. This word gives us principles for taking care of our finances. The Bible gives us principles for how to develop strong, solid relationships. The word gives us principles for people we need to limit and evict from our lives. The word, it gives us principles for how to be a contributor to the common good and a contributor to God's kingdom. There's some marvelous stuff in God's word, but you got to hear and obey the word. Now, the first type of hearing mentioned in the text is what I call pathway hearing. Somebody say pathway hearing. This is when the word is sown, but you get no comprehension of the word because the devil comes and takes the word before the word has any impact on your life. I have learned the hard way that just as hard as God is working through the preacher to help the people of God hear and understand the word of God, the devil is on the other end doing all he can to keep the word from having any impact in our life. After all, that's the devil's job, you know. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, 8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. I call this demonic ignorance. It is not ignorance because the message was not sent clearly enough. It is not ignorance caused by the person's inability to think and process the information. It is an ignorance caused because of demonic influence. The person sitting right next to you can hear the same sermon, understand everything that's going on, and move on according to God's word. And the person sitting next to him can miss the entire thing. It's like the pastor standing up here talking about evangelism and edification, love, worship, community involvement, excellence, the values of our church. And the devil have you sitting up there thinking about, what am I going to eat when this is over? The pastor is talking about love ye one another. And you sitting up there looking at somebody's outfit, talking about why they wearing that. Those colors don't go together. The pastor is talking about how God is still in the blessing business. There's nothing too hard for God. And you're trying to figure out, is the pastor going to get us out of here on time? We started a little late. Are we still going to make it at 12:45? The devil has a way of keeping the word from penetrating. We have no understanding, no recollection of the word. And you cannot digest and obey the word of God if you have no understanding of the word of God. And I mean this with as sincerely as I know how. You might want to ask yourself, are you a candidate for a pathway hearing when you leave the worship experience and you cannot recite anything that happened here? I don't understand how you sit in a 2-hour worship experience. You don't remember nothing from the prayer. You don't remember nothing from the song. You don't remember nothing from the sermon. The pastor has given you an outline of the sermon in your bulletin, and you didn't even see that. So you didn't hear the sermon. You didn't read the sermon. You didn't see the sermon. That's demonic. That's demonic. I mean, because you should have came here looking for the word. So if the pastor put it in the bulletin last week, last month, and this Sunday, and you came looking for the word, and it's in the same place it was last Sunday, come on now. This is demonic ignorance, and that ought not be insulting to you. That ought to be confirming of the word. It means that you have the potential to be something great. And the devil is so scared, he gives extra attention. He don't even want you to comprehend what is being said. But then there are others. It is not pathway hearing. It is stony hearing. The seed comes and it gets off to a quick start, but it's a poor finish. As soon as a little trouble comes, this quick growing plant dies out because it has no roots to it. This is like the person who has all kinds of great ideas, but no follow through. They are excited, jumping up and down excited on Monday about their idea. But by Friday of the same week, they have given up on their own idea. Israel had this problem in Romans chapter 10, verse 2. Romans 10, 2 says, for I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. This is the person who likes to serve, but don't like to study. They like to sing, but no study. Shout, but no study. They just want to do something, anything. They really just want to do what makes them feel good, but they have no biblical connection. So when trouble comes, they have no sense that I got to stick with this thing, because the only reason they was doing it was because of the emotional gratification that they receive. They have no staying power. I was sharing how my dad was much more mechanically inclined than I ever have been. He liked putting stuff together. A few years ago, it was not strange to buy stuff that you had to take home and assemble. Well, my father, he didn't like reading all of those instructions. He thought he could just look at the picture and just put the thing together. It was not strange for Dad to get the thing together, but inevitably it was always some extra parts laying around. Now understand, the manufacturer never sent extra parts. So if it's extra parts after assembly, that means you have skipped a step and you're missing a part here somehow. This is not only the case with establishing and building or assembling bookcases and that entertainment center and bikes and all sort of thing, but this spirit runs even in our churches. There are people who just want to go do something. They have a picture in their mind and they want to go do the picture, but they don't want to study the instructions. They don't want to build it according to God's word. They have no roots. They have no staying power, and their project works as long as the sun is shining. It works as long as all is well, but just as soon as a little breeze come into their life, they are quick to say, I'm out of here. When they feel as if they don't have the respect, they don't have the attention, they don't have the love that they desire, they are known to say, I quit. When they think somebody's talking about them, when they feel as if they cannot get their way, they will quit on you because they have no roots. This is stony hearing. There's a third type of hearing. It is what I call thorny hearing. Are y'all still with me? So we have the pathway, we have the stony, and now we're talking about the thorny hearing. And perhaps this might be the larger type of hearing for us today. The thorny hearer hears the word, understands the word, but does not produce the fruit of the word because there's other things on his mind. This person is distracted. It is the anxiety, that is general sense of fear, or depression, this hopeless sense of sadness with their health, their wealth, their relationships. There's something going on in their life that even though they have received the sermon, they've received the Sunday school lesson, they received the growth group material, they still are not living by it because their mind is on something else. They are like the figless fig tree. Plenty of limbs and branches, plenty of leaves, but no fig. Does this sound like you? The person that's been in church for 20 years, I mean, you are so faithful in attendance, but do you have 20 years worth of fruit? I mean, 20 years, and you still giving God $2 and $3? I mean, help me with that. How do you spend more on a pack of Kool's Newport than you give the Lord all week long? How do you spend more on lottery tickets and scratch off than you give to the Lord all week long? I mean, how do you have more money in your gas tank than what you give to God all week long? It seems as if even though you may deserve your props for attendance, there's something wrong with your fruit. If you've been in church for 5, 10, 15, and my God, 20 years, and you still don't worship, I mean, you still come and act like you've come to watch some kind of religious performance. You act like this is a stage and we up here putting on a show for you. After 20 years, you should understand you came here to worship with us. That the Christian worship experience is not spectator, it is participation. Every believer brings their amen. Every believer brings their praise to the Lord. Every believer brings their edifying and contributing spirit. Do you have enough fruit on this tree? You know, there are some who are distracted by peer pressure. It is this John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43 stuff. John 12, 42, 43 reads like this. Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than praise from God. Do you not know that there are people who could be more faithful, could serve more diligently, could be a greater asset to the kingdom, but they are distracted by trying to please and be approved and be accepted by their peers? These things are more important to them than being accepted, being approved, being loved by the Lord. They are not ignorant, very intelligent. They got all of the information. They have staying power. They're here every Sunday. But when you look for the fruit is lacking because they are distracted with other concerns. Does this describe you? When you look around this congregation, can you see the fruit of your labor? Is it anybody here because you invited them and brought them? Is it anybody in this place that's growing in the Lord because of your prayers, because of your encouragement? Are you satisfied that you have been fruitful for the Lord? The question is not, have you been here? You've been here down through the years. That's not the question. The question is, are you bearing fruit while you're here? Because the characteristic of thorny hearing is that it stays, but it just doesn't bear fruit. It got root. It understands the sermon. It can preach the sermon back to you. It just does not live by the sermon. But thank God, there is yet another type of hearing. Pathway, absolutely. Stony, no doubt. Thorny, yes. But then there's also fruitful hearing. This is described, this is known for hearing and obeying God's word because God said so. Which I repeat after me, because God said so. Yes, that's what's going on with fruitful hearing. They don't just hear and obey God's word when it's convenient for them. They do it whether it's convenient or inconvenient because God said so. They don't do it as a favor to the pastor or to their friends or to somebody else. They do it because God said so. They don't do it just because it's an enjoyable pastime. They do it because God said so. They believe that they are sheep of God. Can I read John 10, 27 to you? It says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. The context of John 10, 27 is Jesus is explaining that there's a whole lot of sheep out here. All of the sheep don't belong to the chief shepherd. The way you can know who are the sheep of Jesus Christ and who are the sheep that just like hanging with Jesus' sheep is how do they respond to the voice of Jesus, their chief shepherd. He says that my sheep will hear my voice and they will follow me. This is an amazing situation. Can you imagine 1,000 sheep being out in the field and a shepherd comes and calls out to his sheep and his 100 sheep leave the 1,000 and just come follow their shepherd? This is the picture of what's going on here. And the question for us is, does this type of hearing describe us? If we were fair, if we were honest, are we the type of people who hear and obey God's word just because God said so, no matter what? I don't care who go with me. I don't care who's against me. If it's God's word, I'm standing on God's word. Does that describe your life? I would like to hope that you can at least be honest and identify with one of these types of hearing. If you can be honest, there's hope for you. Even if you got pathway hearing, if you can honestly say, I got pathway hearing, there's hope for you. But there's no hope for the person who lives in denial. There's no hope for the person who's just too rebellious to change. There's no hope for the person who's too prideful to change. If you can just be honest today, God has some help. And so I wanted to lay that groundwork out, just describing the grounds. Here come the verbs. This is how we improve our hearing. Second part of the sermon, this is how we improve our hearing. First of all, you got to get some word in you. You got to hear the word. Somebody say, hear the word. Now, there is a quantitative and a qualitative dimension to hearing. The quantitative, that is, what amount of word are you getting in you? It's not enough for you to hear a sermon on Sunday, and then your next encounter with God's word is the next Sunday you decide you're going to come to church. That's not enough. I don't care how much tilapia fish I eat today, how many candied yams, how much collard greens and cornbread and sweet potato pie I eat today. Tomorrow, I want some more food. Come on, talk back to me. I can't eat enough on Monday that I don't want to eat on tomorrow. And some of y'all act like y'all can eat some more today. Come on, talk back to me here. You can't come here on Sunday and think you're just going to gorge yourself on this word and somehow you don't need to crack the Bible, you don't need to sit with God's word until next Sunday. And that's generous, isn't it? Because everybody don't come to church every Sunday. Stop, just act like you come every Sunday. They don't know that you don't come every Sunday. You need to get some word in you. So starting with the sermon is good, but you need to put some Sunday school and some growth group with that. That's good, but that's Sunday, that's Wednesday stuff. But you need to put some personal devotion stuff with that. If you want to go through the Bible in a year, great. If that's moving too fast for you, go through the Gospels, go through Proverbs, find you a reading plan. But you need to have a regular dose of God's word coming into your mind. I'm thankful for these MP3 devices so you can listen to the Bible on your phone. You can listen to it, download on YouTube, wherever you want to get it at. The point is you got to get some word in you. That's quantity. But then you need quality word. Because if you're just getting word in you, but you're not processing the word, then the word becomes background noise. Somebody say background noise. It's not strange for me to get in my car and just turn the radio on out of habit. If somebody asks me what's playing on the radio, I don't know what's playing on the radio. It's background noise. When I get in the house, it's not strange to turn on the television. If you ask me what's on the television, I don't even know. I didn't even sit down to watch the television. Turned the television on in this room, went in the other room. Just wanted some noise in the house. Why? Because this is background noise. If you don't make time to sit with God's word, then the word will become background noise. Reverend was talking about something. It was choir. The choir was singing about something. Deke was praying about something. But it's really background noise. And so then you need to have a quality experience with God's word. And I can't help but push you to learn how to make some notes. I don't know how you expect to sit with this sermon from Sunday on Wednesday and you have no notes. Well, how you think you're gonna remember what I said on Wednesday from Sunday? You can't remember what you ate on Friday. On Sunday, how you gonna remember the sermon next week, next month? Baby, you gotta make a note. Now, you don't have to write the whole sermon because the whole sermon might not be for you. But it ought to be at least two or three things out of a 40-minute sermon that feel like this was made for me. This got my name on it. And if your mind is like mine, no matter how good it is on Sunday, it gets a little cool on Monday and it's cold on Tuesday, and I done forgot it by Wednesday. You gotta make some notes so you can sit with your thoughts about what is God saying to you. Psalms 1, verse 1 and 2. Psalms 1, verse 1 and 2 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. Who meditates on his law day and night. What is your meditation practice? I mean, if you hear something really good today, what's your system for keeping that on your mind? If you hear something in the sermon, if you hear something in the teaching, if you hear something in the singing, if you hear something on the radio, if you see something on Daystar or the Word Network, if you get something good, what's your system for keeping this thing alive? How do you keep that from just getting pushed out of your mind by the next thing that comes on the radio? You got to have a way to keep your thoughts on the Lord. This is called meditating. If you want to improve your hearing, not only do you need more quantity, but you need more quality of hearing. But when you get finished with all of that cute stuff, then you got to obey the word of God. Doesn't matter how much quantity and quality you have. It comes back down to obey his word. I will not bore you with how faith comes by hearing, or how without faith it is impossible to please God. But let me at least tell you that James 2:17 says that in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. In other words, you can have all kinds of scripture at the tip of your tongue. You have a photographic memory. You have memorized all of these scriptures. You know exactly what God wants you to do. But if you're not living by any of what you have memorized, that's still thorny hearing. And so then is my prayer that all of us sitting here in February of 2018 have a made-up mind to work on our hearing. Because you can change messengers. You can go find another messenger. But if you don't hear no better down the street than you hear up here, you're going to have the same problem. The problem wasn't the messenger. The problem was your hearing. The problem is not the seed that was sown. The problem is your hearing. And nobody's going to fix your hearing except you. I would pray that we as a church family would work harder on making this a place where people work on having fruitful hearing. This ought to be a place where we encourage one another to hear and obey the word of God. It's anticipated that the pastor is always telling folks something about the Bible and telling folk, get some word in you, live by the word. It's part of the pastor's job. What I'm telling you is, if you are part of this body, you ought to learn how to preach this same sermon. You ought to encourage people to get some word in them. I went and saw the movie, The Black Panther, and it's interesting how many people know about The Black Panther. I think it's a beautiful movie. Every young person ought to go see it. Probably 5, 6, 7-ish, somewhere around there. Don't be having the kids sitting up there hollering and screaming while people trying to watch the movie. I know it's going to be historic. It'll be classic. Get the DVD. They can holler and scream all they want when they get home and watch the DVD. But after you've paid all this money, let me hear the whole movie. Come on, talk back to me here. Black Panther is a beautiful movie. I think we ought to be talking about that. But I find it interesting that we can spend so much time talking about Black Panther and so little time talking about Jesus. Do you know there's still people talking about the Bengals? Are the Bengals still around? We ain't even gonna mention the Browns. We ain't even gonna mention the Browns. It's interesting how addicted we are to talking about sports, but Christians don't talk about Jesus. If this church is gonna be a place that helps people develop fruitful hearing, then somebody got to preach this sermon, sing this song, besides just the pastor and the choir. And so then here's my prayer. As we finish today's sermon, thank y'all for praying with me. It's my prayer that you would make up in your mind that I am going to develop better hearing. I've been in church too long. I've had too many birthdays. I've gone through too much. For me to be sitting up here and get nothing out of the worship experience. You ought to get more than a feeling. Now, feeling is good. Nobody come to church just to be in school. I got that. You got to feel something. Got to feel something. But you ought to leave with more than a feeling, because feelings don't last. It's hard to take feeling good on Sunday and carry it over to Monday, my God, Tuesday. But if you can remember something, if you can get something on your mind, keep it on your mind and ask the Lord, Lord, teach me how to live by this word. I'm a living example that God would do a great work in your life. Now, if you've gotten anything out of this sermon, would you bow your head in a word of prayer with me? If you've gotten anything out of this, would you bow your head in a word of prayer? God, we love you and we thank you for the power of your preached word. We're thankful, God, that the power of preaching is not in hooping, but it is really in you and your word. Now, God, this is our prayer. After we've sat here and listened to all of this, help us to be doers of your word. Those who are honest enough to say that pathway hearing sounds like me. I come here with the best of intentions, but somehow I get distracted, fatigue sets in, my medicine, my whatever, something keeps me from getting anything out of the service. For these, we pray that you would shoo the devil and his influence out of their lives. God, break up the fallow ground, soften our minds, soften our hearts, so that we can receive the word that you have for us. For those who have stony hearing, they mean well, they are excited about doing something, but they don't have the discipline to hear the word, to get some word in them. We pray, God, that you would be there to mentor them, to understand how important it is to have a zeal that's based on knowledge and not just based on emotion. And then for that crowd that many of us are in, the thorny hearers, we hear the word, we got it in our head, but we got so many other things on our mind that we're not doing what we know we need to do. We know we should be a witness. We know we should study. We know we should serve. We know we should give. We know we should be more loving. We know we should be involved in this worship experience, but we got bills that need to be paid. We got arthritis in our body. We got children that are driving us crazy. We got all kind of political maneuvers being made on our job. We got other things that are choking the fruit. God, we pray that you would somehow give us the strength to maneuver around the thorns. Lord, I'm not sure we'll ever have a thornless life, but teach us how to be fruitful in spite of the thorns. Jesus was born in a community that was under Roman oppression. His father had to pay taxes to Caesar, had to run from the genocide scheme of the day. Jesus grew up among thorns, but he still bore fruit. It's not our prayer for a thornless life. We pray that you teach us how to bear fruit in spite of the thorns. Help us hear, help us obey, no matter what's going on in our life. We pray, God, that trouble and persecution nor peers stop us from receiving your word, meditating on your word, living by your word. And then, Lord, we pray that the fruit that comes from our hearing, that 30, 60, some 100-fold fruit, we pray, God, that some of that fruit would include our family members and our loved ones getting saved this year. 30, 60, 100-fold, we pray that that would include some of our family, some of our loved ones growing in the Lord this year. Lord, use us to be a part of your kingdom's agenda for this year. Not 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now, but Lord, make 2018 the year that we bear much fruit for your honor, for your glory, because we hear and we are committed to obeying your word. That's our prayer, Lord. Now, Lord, we pray that as we get ready to extend this invitation, that if there's anybody in the room who has not accepted Jesus as their Savior, we want you to be like fire shut up in their bones that would not be extinguished until they come on over on the Lord's side. In the name of Jesus, if there's anybody here who knows they need to come and get themselves back in church, we pray, God, that you would just move them to stop procrastinating.